right. We are live. Here it is. Welcome to the On the Gareth Cliff Show. It is a beautiful Friday, and the three of us are here. Where's Gareth? Oh, sorry, it's a question I should have asked maybe this week.
Do you know what? I generally know where he is. I have no idea where he is today. I have no clue. Okay. It's just us, yeah.
So be ready.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, do you want to speculate wildly? Because that's the next fun thing to do.
I don't know. He's living his best life somewhere out there, doing what he shouldn't be doing, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, look, you can do whatever he wants. So Gareth's at the age now where he has to make the most of his, you know, because...
He's old.
Well, he's in a more mature decade than we are. I mean, in descending order, like it's him and it's me and then it's you guys.
I love the political correctness.
Yeah, he's old.
He's a mature man. And he's a wonderful man. And that's why you watch the show every single week. And obviously why you wake up early on a Friday to get into this. So yeah, I'll be standing in. We've got a very interesting interview with Tom Burgess, the investigative journalist, at 7 a.m. today, if you're watching live. So yeah, you've got a beautiful hour with me, Ben, Simpiwe, and James over there. Although your name on the show is James. Yeah. So let's probably keep it to that. As you can see, the studio is slightly different here. We're sort of hybridizing a little bit because every Thursday we have the On the Bounce show with me, which I must say, you must go listen to if you enjoy the sport, because we really break down a whole bunch of stuff this week that is pertinent, of course, to the weekend ahead. And then we come in here and we give you everything you need to know about the whole world. James, there's a story that I want to start off with, kick it right off the bat here. It's sports wearable watches.
Right.
So do any of you wear wearables?
I used to wear my
Apple Watch. Weird sentence that you wear wearables.
Wear wearables. There's a name for running your life by wearing wearables.
Is it?
It's called... Damn, I should have opened the running order before we did this. There is a name for it. I think it's called quality of life assurance or something.
Jeepers, that is a stretch. Right. Not a very creative person came up with that one.
But I used to wear one, and now I don't anymore. I never really believed that they were accurate, though.
Like, there's a couple of things. Okay, do you have a wearable?
Let's take a step back. What's a wearable?
Hey, so, like, if you've got an Apple Watch, a Fitbit, I don't know, okay. Too many of the brands, Garmin make these things.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, it's a hideous digital watch that does everything.
And I have one on right now.
How? You're the only one wearing a wearable.
Was a wearable. I thought it was just a watch.
Okay, so let's go with fitness watch. Because
thank you. Okay. Yes.
So you got a fitness watch.
Yes, I do.
What made you get one?
It was on sale. And it's really cute. Let me show you.
I mean, prior to this, were you like, I really wonder what I do each day? Or could I do more each day?
No, because I was getting... I got caught up with the whole, like, count your steps. So I can count my steps. It gives me my resting heart rate. So I get messages.
You've got a Huawei. I can tell by your strap there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I could afford. Yeah. And yeah.
I'm not judging. I just want to get some intro before I tell you the story.
Yeah. That's all I know about it. It does a lot. But I'm just like...
But do you end your day and go, I missed those 37 steps, or
look at my thing, and then it tells you if you didn't close your ring, if you didn't
Jeepers, that's a different kind of
if you didn't achieve your fitness goals for the day. So, you know, and then like even the amount of sleep that you get.
But does it make you worried?
Like, no, I just like knowing just for the fact of knowing. I know it's not accurate like that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the thing. So then why do you wear it if you don't trust it?
Well, time, number one.
Well, yeah.
And then, like, I can more or less see, like, my steps.
Okay, so the whole thing about these wearables and why I want to bring up today is that they're not as accurate as you think they are.
Okay.
And the quantified self-movement, James.
That's the one I was looking for. That was the word.
Why must people make things so serious? Like, this quantified self-movement. This feels like you meet once a week and things go down. So obviously it revolves around wearing this to monitor the psychological data and activity has seen a significant rise in mainstream culture. As Simpiwe said, she has adopted this. You're a quantified self mover. But these devices, from smartphone tracking steps, that they do that. They do the heart rate. You get fitness bands as well, and they can log your sleep and sleep patterns and calories and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So look, there's been discrepancies that have been put into that. People are saying that, your sleep isn't that accurate. They overestimate your sleep.
Yes.
They potentially underestimate your steps, and they potentially underestimate your calorie expenditure. So, look, this is all good and well, and ultimately, it's never going to be scientific, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to spend so much money for a really smart engineering kind of person to track you and monitor you and put you through certain steps, you're not going to get that. It's kind of like if you think, I don't know, eating a salad is healthy from McDonald's. It's a salad, but it's not really healthy.
But why do so many like professional athletes wear these things religiously if they're not like...
So James, I mean, they've got a body of work, okay? So, for example, I had a wearable for a little bit because I wanted to know two things. Mm-hmm. How much my calorie expenditure on an average day, because I need to now then match that with calorie input. Okay. And I was curious about my sleep. But the sleep was always wrong. So I would have a great night's sleep and the watch would be like, no, your REM sleep was nowhere. And then I'll go, oh, does that mean I'm tired now? So there's like a placebo effect. And then I would have terrible night sleeps. And these things would be like, kicked it out of the park there. You got 10 hours. Your REM sleep was like 2 hours, which is huge. And then I'd be like, but I feel like shit. So then I was constantly monitoring my life on these stats, which isn't actually that good. And then I worked out roughly that I expend 2,500 calories a day, roughly, on my average day.
2,500. Do you count your calories like that?
I don't count calories. Hectic. I don't believe in the calorie count. At all.
Then what do you use the watch mainly for?
Just for the steps and time.
That's it.
Okay. Steps and time. So do you have 10,000 steps a day, 8,000 steps? What's your vibe?
I try to do 10,000 a day, but I've been failing for the past 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, look, another thing that I feel off-putting about fitness watches, or sorry, I must use this term here, quantified self-movement devices, is that, you know, you get people who go to the gym and then they log this for points with their medical insurer.
Yes.
But then you see these same people wearing these sweaty watches to formal functions or like out or like at dinner and stuff.
Weird.
It's like, you know, that person has put 1,000 calories of sweat through that thing. Like, and now they're rocking it. But hey.
No, you need like two watches. You need like the old school, like standard watch where I look at you and I'm like, you have money. And then you need also the smart fitness watch.
There's got to be detachment, right? This quantified self movement ends at dinner.
Yes, because I need to judge you and be like, okay, you got a bit of cash.
I'm all for people getting in shape and being their best and all these kind of things. But if you, it's like
also the aesthetics of the watch is very different. So like,
yeah. maybe it's just that I notice these tiny little things like this, but it's not. It's like if you wear a hat that you work out in, but you also wear it for like social functions when you're just chilling. Like
a sweat mark.
A little sweat. Build up of like
you haven't washed it. Oh my gosh, let me judge you now.
Mineral expenditure. But I mean, you're self-quantifiable movement.
Quantified self-movement is a crazy term.
But I'll tell you what is also really good about it. If it's the one thing that gets you moving every single day, placebo effect or smelly sweat aside, then great. Then it's already done the job. Okay. So if we all walk more, would be incrementally better every single day. And if that's the thing that gets you on the streets walking, cool.
Yes.
Quantify your self movement.
Quantify your life movements.
All right. So obviously during COVID, we talk about quantifying your self movement. There was less movement in COVID, but there was some skullduggery, which I want to bring up here. Is that a school worker has been jailed for stealing.
This is outrageous.
Chicken wings. To the value of $1.5 million.
Wait, how? Where? Why?
So during COVID, basically what happened is that the kids were still, they were remote.
Okay,
but
cool.
Because of the school system there, food's included, right?
Okay, cool.
So even though they weren't coming to school, the food was still going to go to the kids. So this food manager person.
Just stole the chicken.
Who was in this job for like 10 years, Vera Liddell. She sounds shifty. She had a 1 year long scheme, which involved acquiring 11,000 cases of chicken wings. How many kids are in the school for a start?
Why just the meat? Why not the veggies? Why not the whole package? Why not everything?
Maybe this particular school prides itself on giving chicken wings to learners, and it's like a hot challenge. But this is for a whole year.
And does she sell the chicken wings and make money off it?
No, she gave them to kids. So she's like a school worker. She gave them to kids as like a
She pulled like a Robin Hood on us where she stole the chicken to give back to the community. Basically.
Did she give them away?
Yeah, she gave them back to the kids for the school that she was working at, didn't she?
Okay.
No, cool, James, then. She stole the stuff. That's why she went to prison. if she had stolen and given to the kids, she would have fulfilled her primary job of taking them and giving to the kids.
Oh, that would, yeah. No.
Because then it wouldn't be theft.
But then, wait, what, doing so job. What did she do with the chicken?
She sold it, obviously. I don't know if this chicken
bail.
Did she
make money? Is she a millionaire now, at least?
She's in prison now, so beware that.
Yeah, but crime doesn't pay. Was the crime worth it? That's what I'm asking.
Well, look, if you're stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings on wholesale value alone, you're going to be a millionaire. But she was caught. Because ultimately, people look at the budgets, right? So she wasn't just like stealing like the allocated amount of chicken wings. She was then going and bump it up a little bit here, bump it up a little bit here, and before you know it, that's how she got to 1.5 million.
Hectic.
So I don't know if Vera had like another plan. Like, sorry, went missing. Need to go get new ones. But you know how much you must hate your job. It's like, I'm going to stick in this job until I find a way I can steal. Or I could find a way to like monetize this whole thing.
No, $1.5 million. I understand.
My question is, how many individual chicken wings is $1.5 million worth?
She must have been working with other people.
Like just, a drug
and ring. Wait, is the, are the chicken wings like cooked already? Are they like pre-made and then... I just need to know so that we understand.
Superior, you're doing that typical female thing where we're presenting a story and you're giving 10 questions and we have no fucking idea about.
I just need to understand.
What do you want? Lemon, lime, peri peri seasoning? What was the packaging?
Because then we'd understand if she really made money. Like, was it chicken a la king? Was it
we didn't ask her those questions.
We decided that she was doing a crime. She's now in doing the time.
And how did she get caught?
Because the budget. So ultimately, every business is run through a spreadsheet. So
sure, but if
there was a budget like discrepancy, and they did all the paper trail back, the fact that Vera, and then obviously they chatted to the kids. It's like, are you getting a kilogram of chicken wings this week? And they'd be like, fuck no. And then you put two and two together, and there it is. As my parents says, she's the original tenderpreneur.
I love her work.
Love that. But
yeah,
she got caught, so can't respect it too much.
But wow, 1.5 million.
That's a lot of chicken wings, though.
And like people like chicken, guys. I just need to understand, did it have flavor? Was it pre-packaged? That's it. Like,
for the sake of the story, let's just assume these kids are not going to then cook. So basically, she's running a cooked business.
Then it doesn't make sense. Why did she just take the chicken? She could have taken the chicken and the rice. And then she could have made even more money. Woo, yeah. Guys. You see, if you're going to steal, do it right.
Look, I think she was just looking to make money. And I think she was looking to make a story or a culinary crime here. It was more about just theft. Patrick wants to know what's in your mug, Cynthia.
It's just tea.
Because, I mean, earlier Nico was suggesting that you had been in the bookmarks again.
Ooh. No. I don't drink during the week.
That's
I don't.
Okay. So, guys, another thing I want to chat about, and it's actually great that I get to be in the show because I get to chat about these things that I don't miss, because normally I just talk about sport and that's my life. And there's more to me, I promise. So this time of year, right, we are August going into September. It's the best time to be on the Mediterranean. You're out of, like, the crazy massive heat of, like, peak summer, and this is where, like, the fancies get in their yachts and they do all that kind of stuff. But have you heard that now there's so many of these yachts? And I don't know if it's like, I'm sure it's a mixture of nationalities, not just those Russian oligarchs or whatever. But one of the biggest flexes in the last sort of 10 years in particular has been about the yacht life. Because it's like cars have always been around, but now the whole yacht experience, getting to the Mediterranean. But now there are so many yachts that they've had to close beaches in the Mediterranean, like south of France, whatever, because so much shit is coming off these yachts and literally washing onto the shore. So that whole Mediterranean's fancy, right? As in the beaches are great. Some of them are private. Some of them are nudist beaches. Like, they're beautiful little alcoves. And now you've got all of this stuff just washing up because these boats, like, you go on there, you're toileting, you're jawling. There's obviously oil slicks that come off it as well because they're running motors. And it's closing beaches.
This is a billionaire's nightmare. That's all I'm saying.
It's not, because they're on the boats. They see the shit going away from them. It's the every person nightmare.
No, but if the yachts now can't go out and they can't do the things that they used to do, just like in the sea and whatnot, that's upsetting.
If they were to maybe put something in place that says, okay, right, there's, I don't know, X amount of yachts per square mile, or you have to really curtail your shit.
I never really thought about how these boats get rid of that stuff, actually.
So this is the story then brought up to me. It's like, okay, so these are yachts with like, I don't know, let's just say 30 people max. You get those super yachts, they're pretty big. Then what does a cruise liner do? Because now there's all these cruise lines in the Mediterranean too. Do they just have better systems of what they do with their poo?
No, they don't. They just chuck it out in the sea.
Do you know this for a fact?
No, this is according to Superior Zamigi. Let me say that's why.
Cruise ship survey of 2023.
They just chuck it out in the sea.
But I mean, look,
it makes sense. No one's gonna know. They compare a tax or a fee or whatever.
There is wear and tear to everything in life. So this many boats on that kind of Mediterranean is big, of course.
Yes.
Mediterranean, but it's still a kind of enclosed place where people flocked around certain areas.
Yes.
So that would be, imagine you saved up so much money to go to like the Amalfi Coast or somewhere in the south of France, and you go into the water after spending 300 rand on a beer, or whatever, and it's like, oh, what is that?
Oh, no.
And you are basically in the.
But it would explain why there's literal shit in the sea. It would explain that because people are just dumping it there.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Cape Town. I grew up by the ocean. And I've obviously got a certain affinity with it, but I don't miss it.
You know, people are not demure.
There's stuff
in
there.
They're not mindful.
Pause. Stop the bus right there. This is a word I've heard for the last 2 weeks. I don't know what it means.
Demure is to be reserved, like a nice person, sweet almost, right?
Okay, so you've used certain adjectives to describe the word. Why can't we just use those words?
Well, let's go back to the originator of demure, the demure movement specialist.
I'm just saying, I was going to say, people are not demure, they're not mindful, they're not very courteous, okay? So in that regard, we can't be so like, oh, I can't believe that the Mediterranean is smelling and looking like this, because people are people. No matter how rich they are, no matter how broke they are, they're still going to not take care of the planet if they don't have to take care of the planet.
So, you know, Greenpeace, okay, I love those guys. They're hardcore. They've mostly got beards and then they're rough people. But like they go out into the ocean, they find these Japanese whaler boats and they spray them with water cannons. And they're just they're annoying. They're like the Jack Russells of ocean activism. Wouldn't it be funny if then people started going, okay, right, we're going to get a vendetta against these smelly billionaire yachts. And they go up and there are like rubber ducks, whatever, and water cannon them. And like big signs saying, keep your shit. Like
while
that would be funny.
They're eating their caviar and drinking champagne. They're like water gun.
And people are just rocking over like Mariah Carey blazing from like big speakers. Like, get out of here.
It could work.
Look, there's quite a lot happening in the Mediterranean. It's actually quite a sad story that's on the back of this. When you have a yacht, you think everything's going to be, let's use the term plain sailing, right?
Nice.
In the Mediterranean as well, because you're not in the open ocean, so to speak.
Yes.
That's kind of chill. That's where they do it. That's the best cruising place. Well, there's this billionaire British tycoon called Mike Lynch. So he was there with like best mates, family, whatever.
Sure.
And then out of nowhere, this huge storm happened just off the coast of Sicily. Now, it's hard to say what actually happened, but basically yacht underwater done. And I think 6 people have died, including this guy, Mike Lynch. So you are a billionaire who owns a yacht and you are living this life. And then suddenly trouble brews in the coast, weather just whips around. And they said like it could have been like a mini tornado even that happened on the water. So heavy wind, heavy rain. And the people, the dead bodies were found in their cabins. So, you know, having a bit of a sleep, maybe you've just clapped a whole bunch of Aperol, taking a bit of a nap, and then suddenly your life just turns around like that.
I heard one of those guys on it might actually be like the owner of the actual boat they were on. His company was busy investigating, I think like the beginning of COVID or something like that. His company was investigating something pretty intense, and then this happened.
Well, see, that's exactly what Big Pharma could do. They can send waves and plagues and clouds, James. It's been
they can control it all, huh?
He was a billionaire who made his money in security, spyware, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, he was a very smart man. He was referred to as a literal genius.
Wow.
And he was on the verge of creating something really amazing. But now he's no longer with us because he was living the yacht life.
So scary. It's like also those people that got stuck in that submarine. I think it was this year, last year. They were also billionaires, all of them.
Those ones just brought it upon themselves.
Yeah.
Those ones I don't feel sorry for.
Mm-mm. Look, there's certain things. I know we chatted at the time about that, but like if you got all this money, I'm not doing that.
No, even
this thing with the yacht, I would love to, but at the same time, I don't want to be in a toilet which is doing this.
Don't knock it until you've tried it. You know, there's a reason why all these billionaires love it so much. I'm sure once upon a time they also thought, I wouldn't be that guy, and look at them, be that guy.
Yeah, as a multi-thousandaire, I'm just not going to set foot on a yacht. Huh? So wait, what is Sonder? I've seen this around a little bit, but I'm sure you know what is Sonder? Seeing as you're so demure over here.
What's happening?
What do you want to take a crack at what Sonder could mean before I share?
It sounds like the name of an album.
Well, there is a group. Oh,
it's like a new Kanye album.
Yeah.
Or is it just Kanye's new name?
No, it wasn't a group. There was a guy who used to call himself Sonder, but it has nothing to do with that and
what I want. Far off?
Yeah, in terms of music, but if you've ever been sondered before, or you've ever felt the feeling of sonder, it's a feeling, darling. This is the feeling that you get from realizing that everyone is having an experience as complex as your own. So it's like you'll be in traffic and then you realize like there's so many people in the world, and each and every single person right in front of me also has their own problems. They're also going through whatever nonsense. And you realize that these are not NPC players. These are actually real life people. And we're all just going through it. And they also all think they're main characters.
Is this an actual word or did someone make this up?
No, this is an actual word.
I've had this thought and often in traffic.
Yeah, like, so...
Look at you guys sondering with each other.
Have you ever experienced it, Ben?
Look, I think you can be around people who have infectious spirits that then you either gravitate towards or aspire to.
Okay.
Would that be sondering?
No, but it's like that realization. Yeah, I mean, look,
if we're all at the stadium watching the Springboks and they just score, everyone's elated at the same time, right? That's a sonder.
No, but it's more like when you realize like that aha moment when you like walk into the shopping center or something like that. And you're like, fuck, everyone here actually has their own problems. Like,
Their own lives.
Like,
I just knew that from the day one, though. Most people have problems, trust me. I mean, that's not new to me.
Okay. So clearly you don't sonder. You clearly don't, and this one does.
I do. How often do you sonder, Sims?
I don't.
Are you surprised how much you sonder?
No, I don't.
I'm sondering again. Shit. This one, I thought I knew it all, and now sondering again.
I don't. I really don't. I don't care about people like that. So it's just like, it is what it is.
So, guys, speaking of Kanye, I don't mean to bring him up, but what is the story with that wife of his? has anyone heard Kanye's wife talk? Can she talk?
I don't know.
Not once.
I've never heard her speak. She is the head.
Every now and again.
She's an architecture. And she's the head of the Yeezy architecture. Yeah, Bianca.
Wait. The Yeezy architecture.
Well, that sounds like she's the head of the Derek Zoolander Institute for Reading Good.
You know what I'm trying to say. Okay. She is the head of architecture for the Yeezys. Okay.
I mean, obviously, like, beautiful woman. I'm sure she's fantastic.
No, she's a Timo version of Kim Kardashian.
I don't think so. I mean, she's younger than Kim Kardashian, right?
Sure, but, like, she is the, like, cheaper version of Kim Kardashian. Yeah, she has short hair, but when she has the long hair and she has slightly bigger boobs, but she looks like Kim.
You know what worries me the most? This woman has no pockets. No matter where she does, what she does in life, where she goes.
She's never dressed.
This picture here we got on screen, her phone is into the band of her waist of her pants.
But isn't it most women's clothes don't have pockets anyway?
But she's
the problem.
Everywhere she goes, because you know when you go to Instagram search because like you need to go to a certain profile, whatever, Instagram's like, here's all the distractions for today. And often this woman in zero dress pops up. I say often, I mean like every couple of weeks. Like a thing, like not every day I'm thinking about who is this woman. But everywhere she goes,
you're not always sondering about her.
I'm not sondering her. Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, she looks so demure, but every picture that she's basically wearing nothing. So she has no pockets. So she has no phone, no keys. What life does this woman live? It must be the most carefree.
That's why Kanye wears so many big jackets, because he carries it all.
He has to carry everything.
Oh, jeez. That man doesn't love her. I can tell you now how he treated Kim Kardashian, because he's very like vocal on whoever he dates, he needs to control the how they dress, right? So he did that with Kim Kardashian, and we saw that he kind of did a really good job. He did take her up a level. Like, Kim had really great style, and then like with Kanye, Montabella, and then comes this one, the Timu version of Kim, and he's just like on the other side. He's doing everything that he would have never done with Kim Kardashian. She's never dressed. She's walking barefoot when they go out. She's always looking like she...
This sounds like a cult.
She wants to run away. Yeah, that's how she always looks like, but then she never does run away. And I'm just like...
Because she's got a slightly glazed look to her face too, which suggests maybe... Mm. What if he's microdosed her to a certain thing, like every morning? This feels like an episode of Black Mirror, guys. It really does. I just... Every night, like, I had a passing, like, fascination with the Huck Tour girl and the phenomenon that is her. But that makes sense, right? She became a meme. She said something funny. People, this woman looks like she's trapped. She's under captivity of some sort. She's overly demure.
Overly demure.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, she just has this weird...
I feel like I know her body more than I should. Like, I've seen her titties out.
But this is why... is there anything on the internet of her talking?
No,
I don't think there is.
No, there isn't.
What if she's got a voice like Minnie Mouse? So every now and again, while the rest of the world is soldering, stuff like this pops into my mind. It pops into my mind, and I just think, what is the story there?
Maybe it's Uncanny Valley vibes, where she's actually a robot. She looks like a robot.
At this stage, James, you could give me any answer, and I'll be like, okay. Cool. Now I know.
No,
I would
guys.
Not be surprised. I would not question you further about it. I would take it as given.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what her story is. I don't know where he found her, but it was very quick and in a hurry after the divorce with Kim Kardashian. And I think she's the rebound chick, you know?
And he does the same thing with her, where he like uses her as his model, right?
Yes, as a prop. And she basically... Yeah, just follows Kanye around. I feel like she makes more headlines than Kanye now. Like, we talk about Bianca more than we talk about Kanye, which is scary.
Well, he's not bringing new music out. So
she's essentially talentless, if you think about it.
I don't know. I mean, you've just said that she's an architect for the architecture school of Yeezy.
No,
I still don't know what you mean by that.
She's the head architecture of Yeezys, because he has a brand called Yeezys.
But an architect,
what is she architected?
Is someone who makes buildings.
Yes.
I don't know. Guys, I just saw this on Wikipedia. Okay. Check it out for yourself.
All right. James, what's the latest on Ray Gun? Because she's not going away, is she?
No, she's not. She's I'm kidding.
But she does so more than Kanye's wife. Let's give her that right off the
bat. Much better.
She has skills, guys. Leave her alone. Like,
so. The Olympic goats is what I'm dubbing her, right? She's the Olympic goats. I know we did our Olympic goats and On the Bounce the other week. This one makes the list, right? So she did her dance. It was great. But then AI got involved.
Oh, wow.
And kind of did her dance for her. There is a video, if Flix could kindly load it.
Okay, cool.
This is it.
Oh.
Oh,
let's
okay.
go.
So now she's like a proper athlete.
You could say that. It gets
This is when AI gets very weird. Hey?
Wait, what the fuck? Why are we seeing 3, 4, 5? Why is the hand becoming a leg?
Wow, James, this is the scariest. Like, she's a like, Mario
wait,
brother.
Wait, what?
She's a mushroom.
Now she's a mushroom.
That. Wow. Now she's Greek? I thought the most disturbing thing about her entire routine was her tongue stuff, actually. Other than that, I would maybe give her a free pass and say, well, you know.
Free pass. Whoa, wait.
That's
wait.
The kangaroo.
Why, I just, that the free
not the kangaroo.
Wait, that's what you're giving a free pass. I just need to understand. Like,
but she is the gift that keeps on giving.
She
I mean,
is, absolutely.
I saw a funny meme this week saying, this guy said, I've been to Australia. That is their best answer.
Her move is the kangaroo. That is crazy.
I didn't even think it was the kangaroo. It's just that she did that because she needed something to do with her hands. And then it was like, ah, the kangaroo. Okay. Because it was also kind of like a bit of a T-Rex.
She did the small arms too. She did like a little.
No. Reagan, come to South Africa. We'll teach you how to dance, babes. We'll show you the moves.
I'm a piano vibes.
Yeah, I mean, she's already doing it. We just need to give her some rhythm.
You know,
like, you know, she can do the. Because I feel like at some point she did the microwave, like
the sprinklers.
Oh, whatever that thing is. White people dance moves. You know, like she just did it.
Big box, little box, cardboard box.
I just wish I'd never seen what you put on the screen now, because
it is wild.
And that's the thing with AI, they do such scary things. The tongue stuff at the end was too much. But Jam, someone who is actually really legitimately successful and sought after, Ronaldo.
Cristiano.
This week he,
what did he do?
He created a YouTube account.
He did, and I've got some numbers that might blow your mind. As well as some context.
He's a YouTuber now?
He is. And okay. It's weird. It's not weird, actually. It's not that weird. So Mr. Beast, you guys know him, right?
Yes, of course. He is the number one YouTube account, right?
Correct. With 311 million subscribers.
Wow. Okay.
So that's almost the most at the end of this year.
Also true. Ronaldo started his page. It took Mr. Beast 132 days to reach 10 million subscribers. Cristiano Ronaldo did it in
12 hours.
He's now currently sitting on 28.7 million subscribers.
Has he released any content?
There was like a teaser trailer that he did. And then there was like a mini interview that he did with his wife. It's like also
you mean
a teaser.
Girlfriend? When did he get
girlfriend,
married?
Sorry, girlfriend.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's on that whole forever after. It's like, you'll have my kids, but you're not my wife.
Sure. That's very weird. I don't understand why men do that. Please
don't
explain.
Look at me while you say that in a condescending manner. Jeepers, I just got an eyeball and eyebrow raised there.
But what I mean is, and it's also a statement I've heard men say, where they will look at a woman and be like, oh, like, you would make such a great mom, or the mother of my kids.
As not said by Kanye.
But they would not marry that person, right? So they look at you and they think, oh my gosh, you're incredible, and you're worthy to carry my kids, and I can have 4, 5, even 7 kids with you. But marriage, never that. And I don't understand, because I feel like the kids is a bigger commitment than marriage.
It is. But you always just dig back in that person's family history. Something's happened there. But also, like, maybe he doesn't want to get taken in the divorce settlement of all his money. But then you have, like, prenups and stuff, don't you?
Yes.
Or he must do what that other player did last year. And basically, he's a footballer and all his money sits with his mom.
Yeah, she owns everything, essentially.
Yeah, him and his wife divorced. And then she got nothing because he's basically poor. And the mom's got all the money. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I don't understand this. I think it's one day, someday, someone must explain it to me. Yeah, this whole baby mama thing.
Ask too many questions, make too much stress. This is the first thing we could take out of today's show.
But I'm very curious, because clearly Ronaldo is doing it, né? And he's there. He's like the 1% of the 1%ers. It goes all the way down to the brokest of all the brokest gents. They do this nonsense where they make women baby mamas, but they will not marry them.
I mean, off the top of my head, not that we as guys come together and have these conversations every Thursday, but maybe that person just hasn't met the right person yet. Maybe that person feels that they're so insecure they need options. There's a variety of things that we can speculate on here. What I want to know, James, is does Lionel Messi have a YouTube account?
I don't think he does.
If he doesn't, he needs to set one up now, because I'll tell you what, trolls being trolls, everyone will get on YouTube to make sure they beat Ronaldo's record.
This will settle the all-time GOAT debate of football.
And that's exactly what will happen. And everyone will jump on it. You get a couple of cocky gits like me to say, wouldn't it be funny if then Messi beats Ronaldo?
Well, Messi already copied one of those guys' names, the ones that made that drink, Prime.
Yeah.
Messi made one now.
El Primo.
That one, or whatever it's called. and it looks very, very similar to Prime. Also, it's also a hydration drink. He's got different flavors, different colors. Like,
it's also just full of shit ingredients, though. Or did he actually make an effort?
Well, it only launched when he moved to America. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'll say.
Okay, we give away too many good ideas in the show. But let's talk a bit of sports, because obviously Beyond the Scoreboard with me, Ben Karpinski, powered by Superbets. That's every Friday where we give you an update on what's happening with the weekend. And the English Premier League, well, it started last week, and it started well. So we had a big laugh internally on our team here, because Sandile, who you met recently, he's a big Man United supporter. They had the first game of the new season, and like they squeaked home against Fulham. But he was so happy that his team was top of the log for like 11 or 12 hours. And yeah, I mean, we could have been supported, but obviously we weren't. And now that'll be forever like funny for the rest of the year, because we'll just bring that up. So if you are a Man United fan, they'll take on Brighton. They're away to Brighton at 1:30 on Saturday. Spurs, after somehow dropping points against Leicester, to which Jamie Vardy really, really rubbed it in, they'll be at home to Everton at 4 o'clock. Man City will be taking on Ipswich at 4. Aston Villa versus Arsenal at 6:30. Interestingly, I mean, if Arsenal were to have a bogey team in the Premier League, it is Aston Villa. Last year, they dropped all 6 points to them, and that kind of was the difference between them winning and then Arsenaling. And then Sunday, we've got Wolves versus Chelsea at 3, and then Liverpool versus Brentford at 3:30. James, your team, I mean, how confident are you that they could potentially win this league, or is it just Man City?
Sure, this season, I think it's way too early to tell. We're also
But we're going to have a dash here, because today is today.
I want to say super confident. You know what? New manager, new team, new vibes, very confident.
Very confident.
A challenge for the title. That's what I say.
Gosh, okay.
That's my opinion.
What's the opposite of demure? That's what James is feeling about his team.
Delusional is what it is.
So we also got Curry Cup, because there's no no rugby championship this weekend. Of course, the Box are on top of that log there. They went to Australia. They gave them 6 of the best, trousers down. Aussies had a cry. They didn't want to scrum. And now basically we are on top of the rugby championship. So we'll get to that next week, because it's the All Blacks coming to SA. Damn, it's exciting. I just like just hearing those words. And it's 2 test matches, which makes it even better.
Are you going to any of the games?
I'm going to the Ellis Park one here in Joburg.
And ooh, that's a big one.
In the Cape Town weekend, I'm going to a friend's bachelor's in George. We're going to play golf and stuff. Ooh, so that's the cool thing about test matches, right? If you want to do something, it's a great thing to add to a weekend, like a bachelor party or anything that you're away for.
We did paddle and rugby last weekend as the TRN team.
That's
what we did. It was paddle, and then we threw some Springbok rugby in there. It's great. Made for a great weekend.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's so cool. And also, when you're away, like in a small town, wherever, you go find a place where people watch rugby. It's one of the best ways to experience the local whatever. Because you see Oaks coming in, getting hammered, and people will be out of towners like you. And that's the thing. The Springboks just bring everyone together.
True.
They're a galvanizing force in this wonderful country of ours. But there is Curry Cup this weekend. So look away now, Province fans, because they've been dog shit this whole season so far. But Friday, the Blue Bulls will take on the Griquas at 7:05. This week, I was actually at the Blue Bulls at Loftus.
I did see on your Instagram.
So I was interviewing one of the under-21 players for that One Quit Crew series that I'm making with Ryobi. So this is episode 7 of the 9-part series. And it was so cool because I got to watch these guys like going through practice.
That's amazing.
So the main team, the main buller, they're in the stadium, and then under-19s and under-21s on the outside fields.
They just relegate them outside.
Well, I mean, look, everyone's got their own thing, but the vibe there is so cool because they all gym together. So whether you're like just out of school, your first pro contract, you're still there with like Nizam Carr and Embrace Papi, and they're all there. Nice. I got to see all that. Like Jake White's just cruising around.
Really, really?
Yeah. That was a really cool morning.
That's what I actually, sorry, just to cut you off. It's like the thing, that's what I like about rugby is like, it's such a, I don't know if it's just because we're South African, but it's actually just such a, there's no like airs and graces about most rugby players or teams.
But James, I'll tell you what, it's because it's a contact sport where Oaks are murdering you constantly. It's hard to actually be someone of airs and graces, because that someone will find you at the bottom of a ruck, or somebody will tackle you in open play, and quickly they'll say, yeah, Leicester. Whereas in football, I mean, the guy's got so much money. He's got like a Kanye wife on the side. You know, he gets like the preferential treatment. Saturday in the Curry Cup, we've got Western Province hosting the Tell Sharks at 3. The Free State Cheetahs will be taking on the Golden Lions at 5 in Bloem. And then Sunday, the Griffins will be hosting the Pumas in the wonderful town of Welkom at 3 o'clock. But it's also a great weekend because Formula One is now back. So they took that month-long break to obviously be spreading shit on their yachts in the Mediterranean, as we picked up in an earlier story.
In Monaco.
But now they've come back, and now we've got 10 races till the finish line. So, yes, it's Verstappen to lose. He's on 277 points currently. Lando Norris next best on 199 with Oscar Piastri 167, and then Charles Leclerc. I'd like to mention him in the mix, but you just know Ferrari going to do something great and then do something really, really shit. So that's the kind of mix of who's out there. But the Dutch Grand Prix at Circuit Zandvoort, Max has won there the last three times. Obviously, it's going to be a sea of orange because it's the Dutch. And the Dutch are weird when they support things. They rock up in camper vans.
In numbers.
It's like they're about to go to war.
All the numbers. They smelly, bring flares.
No showering, beards.
Is that the prerequisite to go to war? No showering, smelly, and beards.
Well, of course, James, because you've committed yourself to something that might take a while. And then they're droves just cheering on for Max to be numbers. Number one.
Do you think Lewis is going to do things at Ferrari next year, or is it going to be a bit of a...
No.
Not a...
I don't see Lewis changing Ferrari being Ferrari.
I see what you're saying.
But for the legacy, for to want to be... See, the whole thing with Lewis, and I don't know if this is how he sees it, but this is how I see it, and seeing as I'm hosting the show, it matters.
That's fair.
But people are always going to say that Michael Schumacher was the greatest because he did something great in cars that weren't always great. He was so dominant. He was the ultimate best driver. Whereas Lewis was almost like, he was great, but he wasn't as good as Michael as an all-round sort of package. So okay. If Lewis goes to Ferrari at this stage of his career, where he is obviously older than most of these oaks, it's kind of like me in studio with you guys. If he gets it done at Ferrari, it's an absolute legacy cementer.
For sure.
So the inspiration and motivation is all there. Can Ferrari be consistent enough? I highly fucking doubt it.
That's a big question.
So okay. Yeah, the Dutch Grand Prix on Sunday, that's going to be hugely exciting. And then it's a really great weekend for golf as well. So the Women's Open Championship, that's the final major of the year. Some people I know you've been watching since the beginning. It's at St. Andrews at the Old Course, which is always great to watch on TV.
Okay.
So we got four South African golfers who are in the mix there.
Nice.
And the weather's going to be shite because, let's be honest, it's Scotland. It's exciting because you see them all wrapped up in the cold. They've got to play all kinds of different shots. But then it's also the BMW Championship on the FedEx end of year thing on the PGA Tour. So what happens is you get to a certain number, and then if you're in the top 50, you get to play in this really amazing event, the BMW Championship, and then from there it gets whittled down to the top 30, then play the Tour Championships. An interesting dynamic is that Keegan Bradley, who has now been named the Ryder Cup captain, not a player, he was snubbed, tremendously snubbed when they went to Rome as a player. And then they've now given him like the consolation prize that you can be the captain because there's no one else. Anyway, he's leading after the first round, which is quite the story because he was like, I want to be there. I want to be with the players. I want to show that I've got what it takes so they can. Americans say dumb shit. But anyway, BMW Championship this weekend is going to be hugely exciting. And that's pretty much your big mix for sport this weekend. What I will leave you with on the sport, though, is that the great thing about the English Premier League is that there's so many games all the time. And what I've done this week is I've gone into Superbets. And I've got a bit of a pick six going. So what I say is that Man United and Brighton are going to draw. I say Spurs are going to win. Man City is going to win. Arsenal's going to win. Chelsea's going to win. And Liverpool's going to win.
Hmm.
None of that sounds too implausible. I think that's the word.
It's about right, I think.
So now if you go into Superbets and you put that into a multiplier, you're going to get odds back of 22.57. It may have fluctuated a little bit. But a hypothetical 100 Rand can return you 2,357 Rand. That is not betting or financial advice, but it's a fun way to put a little bit of money down for a weekend long thing. So pick six games you feel really comfortable about and have a bit of a go. Of course, Superbet supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s. Sorry, Flex. So winners, of course, know when to stop or just, you know, be moderate. South African Responsible Gambling Foundation toll-free counseling hotline is there if you need it. 0800 006 008. Of course, Beyond the Scoreboard, brought to you every week by Superbets. And if you go on the Bounce show, Superbets are one of our partners there, and we give a full rundown of all these things that you need to look into for the weekend. So catch that podcast, or of course, on the Real Network, you can find the video from last week. Sorry, yesterday. I feel like I've been in the studio for so long. It's like... Time is now.
Ben, we only saw each other like 8 hours ago.
Oh, wow.
Time has now been squeezed into a compression chamber, and here we are. Yeah, guys, so we got some.
I want to ask you about something.
Sure.
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, November 16th. Is Jake Paul dying that day? Is that where we seeing the end of Jake Paul?
No, unfortunately
not. Mike Tyson is a machine.
I know, but he's also 60,
James. He's also old.
But he's an animal. The mindset he gets into when he does these things.
He's old, and I think that's what you must also look at. I think he will do some damage to him because of experience, not because of what Beast he is now. Like, this is when you say experience versus youth, and you're going to see it like play out, that he'll be able to counter certain attacks. He'll be able to duck certain things because of experience. It's not because the fact that he is so fit and so young. But the other one has youth and speed on his favor. So I think it's going to be one of those where if he can like wear him out, it's tickets, dog.
So tickets. I will go a step further. I agree with those things, the old key aspects. When you go and get into a fight, you have a fight camp, okay? So it's like studying for an exam.
Right.
So let's put it this way. Jake Paul's got all the textbooks. He's got all the time in the day. He's got all the caffeine. He's got all these different things. Mm-hmm. So he gets to study the most. Mike Tyson doesn't have all the textbooks. He doesn't have all the time to study. And he might have forgotten a lot of things he's already known about the subject matter. So when he gets down to that exam, he doesn't have as many answers as Jake Paul has. And I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Because, yes, this Iron Mike Tyson, this Oak was the most dangerous man in the world. He had fucking pet tigers. There is a way that he can beat Jake Paul. But Jake Paul's got all these other things. So if Mike comes out and goes, you know what? I've got a great round in me. As in, like, that's all I've got. Because your footwork goes, your response time, all that kind of stuff. So if he comes out and says, I'm going to fuck this guy up in the first round, Jake Paul's going to be like, cool. Dance around a little bit. Pick him up with a couple of jabs here and there. Get him to that third, fourth round where basically he's more pliable. And then he'll be like, okay, now I'm going to lay some hammers. And that's unfortunately the thing about boxing. And when you're boxing a grandfather, a 60-year-old man, is that you've got all the strings. You've got all the bows. And that's what's going to happen.
Okay. I was just interested because, I mean, obviously.
But James, the entire world wants to see him just push clap him.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Absolutely. Also, we can't see Mike Tyson go down like this, guys, to YouTube.
No, he's not going to go down like
but he's
without
not actually,
a fight. But, guys, but I definitely think that age is not on his side. I think
role, yeah.
He's not a YouTuber anymore. He's had enough fights. The amount of time this guy spends boxing, you know, the whole 10,000 hours thing, whatever.
Sure.
It's like, guys, I'm a podcaster. I'm no Joe Rogan. I'm no household name. But I spend a lot of time talking into a microphone. So I can legitimately call myself a podcaster.
Sure.
Not the best, but... like Jake Paul, he's a boxer. I think he's now a boxer / YouTuber, and not the other way around.
Boxer, YouTuber, that's a career turn, huh? Sims, that was a good audition for
Last week I did also shoot my shot. This week I'm shooting my shot like every week until the month of August. I'm going to shoot my shot live on the GCS show for you guys to see that I got this.
I know you got this, but you're not getting the job. Sorry, I've got to be ruthless here. Zimpiwe, you can't be on my show as well as a female features presenter. You are too valued here. I see what you do in this place. You hold it together.
Oh, my word.
To put the extra pressure of you to be on the show as well.
It's not pressure. Did you see how effortlessly that was?
It was pretty clear. I got
to answer you because I actually know what's going on. I actually know what's going on. Come on now, put some respect on my name.
Look, you are setting a benchmark. If you do want to be on the Bounce show, we are running for the whole month of August a presenter search. So if you're a female presenter who cares about sport and does that kind of stuff, just make a little audition on Instagram and then tag us the show and we'll assess it. Well, some people will assess it, actually. I'm not putting all judgment onto
it's
her.
It's a no from me until I get the job.
Guys, we got to wrap it up in a bit. But Simperia, there was another story I wanted to touch on this week about this German company that's freezing bodies.
Yes.
As in like the awesome powers, we're going to freeze you now and bring you back when we need you kind of thing.
Yes. Literally, yes. So this company was established in like 2020. Right. And I'm curious, before I tell you how much it would cost to like basically freeze your body and hopefully one day, someday, science will be able to revive you. How much do you think this would cost you?
Whoa, hang on a second. Hopefully someday.
Has
this company not given you enough confidence to say it's actually going to work? No.
So they are still trying to figure it out to see hurry one day. Someday,
it's like selling a car with no brakes.
They possibly, you know, revive you. They've had 5 people volunteer so far.
Didn't Walt Disney freeze himself?
And they have 6 pets, so you can even your animals, you know, pet lovers, dog lovers. Hey, now you could potentially, you know, freeze your loved one, literally or figuratively, when they pass on. for one day someday. It's still a one day. No, but
they're passed on, they're dead, right? If you freeze a dead person, you've just got a frozen dead person.
Yeah. I mean, if you agree to this, they'd have to put you to rest. Because you have to agree whilst you're still alive.
But then also, like, what if the technology to bring someone back to life or whatever only happens in, like, let's say, another 100 years? Is it my great-great-great-grandchildren that's bringing it back?
No, also, it's that company. How do they know it won't be back? That's the company. I think it's Tomorrow Bio. That's the company. They're based in Germany. And the aim is in 2025, they're going to go to the USA and also start getting recruits from the USA. But guys, there is money attached to this. You don't just do this thing just because you want to. You have to pay a fee. And I'd like to know, how much do you think you pay?
Please, myself.
Sorry, guys, just before we get to the money, I've just got to ask a couple of questions quickly. Okay. Just try to dart them in here. Why do you want to live later? Look how much the world has changed in the last 10 years, right? What an absolute mindfuck if you suddenly get thawed in 50 years' time, English and dialect and all kinds of things have changed. So you're going to feel so lost in this new world that you've now been frozen into. All of your mates, the people who you have a kinship with right now, are dead because they're not frozen next
exactly.
to you. So now you come back. Let's just say it works because I know for a fact it doesn't. Otherwise, this would be known as a thing. But you've been brought back. You're a stranger in a world you know nothing about. And there's going to be some sort of defect. Like your brain might have atrophied, or you won't be able
to melt off of it, or
like your muscles will be fucked because they need to be stimulated. So you'll be this, you'll be like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons at best if you come back. What's the upside here?
I mean, I guess the upside would be if they do successfully manage to do this. You would be in a totally different time. So you would still be studied, like in terms of the science of like understanding what happened in 2020, what happened in 2024, who are you, how did the humans live? Because I'm pretty sure it would have evolved, and how life looks like in the future is very different to how it is now. So even how you talk would be very different to how the future people are talking, if we being honest. I don't know. I think you'd still be a science experiment.
I think it comes down to it. How much would someone pay you to do this? But now you tell us, how much people are actually willing to pay them to do this?
So there's been over 650 customers that already signed up.
No.
And you would be paying a lousy $200,000 just to participate in this. But it gets better. Wait, it gets better. You could also preserve your brain. So you could pay $81,000 just to preserve your brain.
And there's no, at the end of the day, there's no guarantee anyone that this works in 20 years.
There's no guarantee.
I've heard some horseshit in my life, but these people have all sondered together for this. This is, it's an odd thing to want to do this. I mean, maybe I'm like more of a carpe diem kind of person, but I mean, Vincent just points out something so basically honest. It's like your penis falls off from frostbite if you get frozen, right?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, they freeze your body in like liquid nitrogen. There's a whole science. They've figured it out. They've figured out how to preserve your body for this. I just think it's a scam, because in even 10 years' time, I don't think, if they don't have the answers now, I don't think they'll have the answers in 10 years' time. Like, I think they should have established this when they had the answers, to say, we can try this in a year's time. Like, you can wake up in a year's time, and if this works, you can do like 50 years or whatever.
But okay, Disney was ahead of the game. He did this years ago. He's a frozen man currently.
He's going to stay frozen until the end of time.
Yeah. For real.
Where?
I have no
Disneyland.
Idea. I swear.
Frozen.
In Disneyland. He's frozen. I'm going to find out.
Okay, so this is the final thoughts here. If they can freeze you because they think that they can bring you back from the dead, then yes, when I die after a long and fulfilled, wonderful life, freeze me. Go for it. Because if they can get the technology, they can say, right, guys, what we're going to do is if we freeze you, we're going to pump shit into you, all kinds of stuff, which will then ultimately make you regenerate and come back 20 years younger. Then I'm in. Then you can have my money. But I don't think that's what they're selling here. Okay, we're going to wrap it up with that. James, tell us about this interview we're about to have right now.
We are about to have an interview. It's with Tom Burgess.
Yeah, so Tom Burgess, I almost said Tom Journalist. Tom Burgess is an investigative journalist.
Yeah, best-selling author and award-winning investigative reporter. He's exposed corruption scandals, covered terrorist attacks, coups, neo-Nazis, and forgotten conflicts. Him and GC have a nice little chat. The interview is about 45-ish minutes long. Yeah, I think it'll be
great. Great, I'm sold. I'm in.
That's what I do. Not right. Sold on the frozen body thing, though.
All right, have a wonderful weekend from us here in the studio live. We are going to go and not be frozen this weekend, although the weather looks pretty tepid.
You should go and make coffee and sonder together.
I'm going to go have a coffee and a sonder right now. Catch you back next week.